chapter 4, verse number 7. Third type, soil. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Verse number 18 and 19, Christ explains to us what thorny ground hearers are. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Verse 7 said, they yielded no fruit. Verse 19 said, they becometh unfruitful. This one goes farther, does more, lasts longer, and even bears fruit. It just never matures. They brought forth no fruit to perfection. It's like that tree in your yard that starts off with filled with the apples or the peaches, and it promises a large and abundant crop, but they fall off. This gets that one, something else gets the other, and the ground's covered with little apples that no bigger than plums. Some of them get bigger. Some of them last a longer time. They just never ripen and come to maturity. So there is the appearance of fruit. There's the bloom in the tree. There's the bud. And then there's the beginning of fruit. We saw last week that deep plowing is that which breaks up the soil so that it might be a well-prepared seedbed. Plows up the stone, the rock that's just beneath it, and it's a deep plowing that drags up the roots of thorns. Surface plowing won't get briar roots or thorns. They go too deep into the ground. Now the pulpits are to blame a lot today, for they've produced a lazy people. And folk, whether we know it or not, there's more Catholicism about us than we think. We've got a little pope. He'll do our preaching, our praying, our studying, and our meditating. Fundamental Baptists have even gone farther and said, listen to me, I'll tell you what you need to know. Follow the rules that I set down and you'll be a good Christian. Catholicism hidden in the Baptist church. Look at Proverbs chapter number 24. For without deep plowing, without you attending to the preaching, doing your own praying, your own studying, and your own meditating upon the scripture, it does not matter if today there is the appearance of fruit, it may wither and never come to maturity. Proverbs chapter number 24 and verse number 30. I went by the field of the slothful, the lazy person, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So the Catholic Church says, you can't interpret your Bible, we'll interpret it for you. You don't need it. All you need to do is attend the Mass and listen to what the Pope has to say, and everything will be all right. That's a man void of understanding who would get all of his food someplace other than from his Lord. Verse number 31. Because of laziness, because of neglect, because of an absence of understanding, the field of the slothful was all grown over with thorns. They began, but they did not plow deeply. They started, but they did not finish. They grew lazy in the work, and the field that they sowed had thorns and nettles that came up and covered the face thereof. So a thorny ground hearer is one who hears, but due to a laziness about him or her, the fruit that begins in their life never comes to maturity. But then there's a second, and that is prevalent today also. That's a self-confidence outside that of the Spirit of God. When a man has saving faith, that makes his soul very diligent to use all the means that God has given to continue to plow up, dig up, and weed out all things in life that would choke out the seed, the Word of God. Self-confidence produces a laziness about us that says, I'm safe, I don't need anything else. I am saved. It's not of great importance that I attend the service. It's not of great importance that I study the Scriptures through. And in this type soul, thorns spring up easily. If a person has no or little time to meditate, little time to hear, or little time to pray, then thorns choke out all that you receive. All the time of thorny ground hearers is spent in this lifetime. How can I make an extra dollar? Wherein can I pinch this and save to stick up? What can I do to get out of debt? How can I achieve this purpose or this goal in my life? And these things choke out the spirit. It's like throwing water on a fire. There, whatever influence the Spirit of God might bring or might bear upon a thorny ground hearer, it is soon quenched because of the things of this life. Now, folk, whether you are saved or not, and whether there has been that deep plow or not, there still must be maintained a hoeing or a weeding. For thorns will grow naturally in unplowed soil, but thorns and briars will also come up in that which has been plowed. You don't plow one time and then expect fruit after the sowing of the seed. You may have gotten rid of a lot at the initial subplowing, but you never get rid of all until dead. That which beareth thorns and briars, Hebrews 6 said, is rejected. Those hearts that continually bring forth the thorns and the briars, as in the slothful man's vineyard or his field, they are rejected, they are nigh unto cursing, and their end must be burned. You must daily, you must as oft as possible, plow and use the hoe, the Word of God, to continue to break up ground your heart that will naturally, even after salvation, will naturally spring forth evil or those things that will choke out the Word of God. Satan will not trip you folk up by enticing you to some great sin. He will trip you with the cares of this life and with the deceitfulness or love of riches, as spending the majority of your time thinking about and dwelling upon what's going to take place today, what must I do tomorrow. Now look at 1 Timothy as Paul writes here and warns the young one of this problem in the believer's heart. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 9. It is natural in the unsaved. It remains in the saved. And they that would bring forth fruit to perfection and enter into eternal life must continue using the spade to get rid of all that would choke out the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. That's the thorn shooting up. That's the briars. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts. You let these things spring up, and it'd be like you walking barefoot across a thorny ground. You're going to end up with a lot of foolish and hurtful lust, which in the end drown men in destruction and perdition. So the seed comes up and the seed begins to bloom and the seed buds out and the seed has the little fruit. But the thorns are so numerous and so widespread that they choke out, they sap from the plant all the nutrients that it would get from the ground and all the moisture that it would get from the ground, and the tree doesn't have sufficient nutrients to bring forth that fruit. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith. And like a thorn in your side, a thorn in your foot, they who covet after money have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Folk, the third ground, the third soil, the third hearer has the worst heart and is in the worst condition of all. The second one springs up and has life for a season, but the sun withers it away. They receive gladly the message and say, this is what I need, and they bow to it. But then the sun comes up. But the thorny ground hearer puts its seed into a deeper soil, and they stay longer. Folk, the sad thing is, some stay thorny ground hearer all their lives. The inordinate love of earthly things, or the enjoyment of inordinately, is idolatry. If you'd flip back from 1 Timothy towards the old and you run across Colossians chapter number 3, Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 5. Mortify, kill off, put to death, dig up thorns. These are fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness. Now, I told you the devil's not going to trip you up enticing you to some great sin. The majority of you here are going to be tripped up with little briars and thorns. Note what God said about covetousness. It is idolatry. Whatever you set your heart on, that is your God. I don't care if it is your mate, if it is your child, if it is your money, if it is your house, land, reputation, character, or whatever. If your heart's set on it, then that is idolatry. But folk, a person that worships a God made of stone or of stick or one in the heavens such as the sun or the moon is not in as great a danger as the man or woman with a covetous heart. You and I are quick to condemn those that would commit the greater sin, yet at the same time, we condemn those that commit the greater outward visible sins. We sit with a God in our heart that is not the true God. A covetous person is more wicked than one who worships a God other than the God of the Bible. A person who worships a rock might easily be converted from that state if God sends the gospel to him. But it is a difficult thing for one sitting under the gospel to realize that they have a God other than Christ. What's the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before thee. Not murder, not stealing, not lying. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It is brought over into the New Testament, and one said, this is the fulfillment of all the law of God. That is loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, covetousness is a thorn greater than worshiping a God you've made with your hands. There is less condemnation to a true idolater than there is to one who sits with God's people under a pretense but does not serve the true God. Again, folk, your danger is not in unlawful things, but law. Before the flood, the condemnation was this. They were eating, drinking, planting, harvesting, marrying, and giving their sons and daughters into marriage. To sustain life, you eat, you drink, you plant, you harvest, and you marry. For life to be propagated, you do these things which God destroyed an entire world. And he never made mention of the sins that make men more like beasts than men. Pride, lust, sodomy, open idolatry, stealing, murder, backbiting, these things. God didn't mention the great sins. God mentioned sin that men participate in unlawfully. God mentioned lawful deeds done from a wrong motive. and he destroyeth things that you and I do every day. So it is the use of lawful things wrongly that chokes out the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6 again. And verse number 17. 1 Timothy 6, 17. Charge them that are rich. It is not a sin to have money. Money, coveted after, is the sin. But those that are rich must not be high-minded, must not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. He gave you Mother Earth to plant your seed. He gives you the rain from heaven that those seed might mature. Everything that you see on earth is from God. God has given it to the church that the church might prosper using it. It is when we take the blessings of God and the lawful things of God and abuse, use unlawfully or covet after, that brings in sin, which God condemns more than idolatry. To covet after something, he said, is the same thing as you going out worshiping the sun or the moon. Now, 1 Corinthians 7, listen to what Paul had to say about the things of the world. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 30. And they that weep, as though they wept not. And they that rejoice, as though they rejoiced not. There's to be a moderation. There's to be nothing come your way so sorrowful that it causes undue weeping. And there's nothing that comes your way that should bring nothing in this world, nothing in this life that should bring such rejoicing that it becomes unmoderate, it becomes excessive. Paul said, if God brings trial and it brings weeping, you go on as though you wept not. If God furnishes great blessings for you, you go on as if you had little, and don't get caught up in rejoicing in the blessings of God. And they that buy as though they possess not. So you go out and you fill the cupboard, but then you look up and you think, well, that's not important. Or you buy this or that, and that's not important. Verse 31, and they that use this world. God gave you all things to use lawfully. Paul told Timothy, richly all things. But now he tells the church at Corinth, you use the things of the world, but you don't abuse it. For everything in this world, even the fashion of it, passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness, that is, not anxious or secure. And then he goes on. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, that how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Verse 29 says, if you're married, you are to live unto God as if you were single. So it is the use of things that God has given you to enjoy that chokes out the Word of God. The simple, little, but blessed things of God can destroy. Now Christ gives us here in Mark three things. Number one, the cares of this life. What are the cares of this life? What I eat, what I drink, what I wear, what I will do when the evil day comes, how will I survive, what will happen to the children when the evil day is upon us. Little simple things, little lawful things, Jesus said, these things, the cares of this life, choke out. So to rid you of this thorn, look at Matthew chapter 6 at what Christ has told us. Eating, drinking, wearing, paying the bills. No sin in none of these. Matter of fact, they all must be done. But when they become excessive in your caring for them, then the word of God is choked out. I don't care if you read, pray, or listen, or how much you do. If the spade is not used on the cares of this life, it'll choke out the word of God. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. You go out and you put in your 40 or your 50 or ever how many hours you must work. And you do the things around the home. But as you do these things, there is not an over-anxiousness. There is not an undue concern. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that you should take no thought for your life. The cares of this world. The reason, the thing that you eat, the thing that you drink, the things that you wear, what you put on, is not the life more than me. Folk, most of us take better care of the thing that's going to go to the dust and worms are going to eat up than we do of that part of us that will depart immediately upon death. To be in eternity somewhere. And most of us give more time to tomorrow's meal, to tomorrow's clothes, to tomorrow's duties. And most of us will miss the Sabbath day due to cares that flood our mind over the things coming up next week. And Christ said, I want you to consider the birds of the air, and I want you to consider the lilies down in the valley. All they do is they just live there. They just abide. They are not overly concerned about anything. And do you think that your Father in heaven will clothe them, leaving you unclothed? So, a moderate care, but an immoderate, an over-anxiousness will eat away, choke out the word of God. I said a moderate care. If a man doesn't work, the man doesn't eat. But all you do is to be regulated with this thought, everything here passes away. I'll work today for the bread, but it passes away. I work today for something to drink, but it goes into a vessel that will one day decay. All moderately. I labor and I've stuck up $5 today, but moths, rust, thieves, and everything else can get to it. All that I do here passes away, and the only thing that lasts will be that which is eternal, that which is done for my soul. Most of us have got to look back and confess. We have spent the greater part of our Christian walk concerned over things. And those things have so choked out the Word of God that instead of us being full-grown men and women, we still have need of the milk of the Word. Isaiah 58. I won't ask you to turn to many more today. Isaiah 58:13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not do thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking. God said you're to so observe the Sabbath that you can't have your own thoughts. You're to so observe the Sabbath that you can't speak your own words. Now I know some are sitting here saying, well, that was under the law. I assure you this, that the Lord Jesus destroyed not the law, the ceremonial he did away with. But all such scripture is to be brought to the New Testament and translated spiritually. The Sabbath day, the seventh day, or the first day now, is of such importance that you are to think God's thoughts. That the mind operative is to let go of everything pertaining to next week. Not even speaking your own words. How many of us monitor at the table? How many of us monitor prior to and upon leaving the service? How many of us monitor our language? Or how many of us are guilty of stealing from some other one that which God sown, because we've thrown seeds of thorn in their mind and now they got to walk away thinking about something we've said? You said in Amos 8, when will the Sabbath day be over so I can get back to buying and selling and reaping and harvesting and raising the scales and deceiving and defrauding? I'll be glad when it's over. You think they got anything out of the worship service? They sat there wanting to get through with it so they could get on with worldly business. Been better off at home. When your mind is completely absorbed, it is excessive. When chaos and disorder moves out the peace of God that the Holy Spirit brings, you are set too much on things of this world. You say we're not supposed to be brought to chaos and disorder. No. Are you saying you never are? I didn't say that. I say we're not supposed to be. I'm saying if our minds, our hearts, our wills, if our life is rightly related to Christ Jesus, the chaos, the disorder, and the storms are only sent to hell. And we major on them. The wicked man's like the troubled sea that is continually casting forth its filth and its mire. And the man or the woman, the boy or the girl that sits under the sowing of the seed, that reads or would have the sowing of the seed or pray to have the seed, they sit there and yet there is no peace because they've allowed their minds to concentrate. The devil's run a thought across their mind and all of a sudden it has halted all their spiritual duty. The devil's run a thought across their mind, and all of a sudden their heart's more like that of a wicked person than it is that of a child of God. When these things become so in your life that you cannot perform spiritual duties God's called to you to do, then your moderation is gone excessive. And the things of this life have choked out the Word of God. Thorns. And some folks sit all their lifetime and never take a hold to an old wicked heart. Secondly, Mark said, the deceitfulness, note that, folks, the deceitfulness of riches. People labor all their life for that which they will never see at death. Pursuit so fills their heart that they have no room for spiritual thinking. They prefer these above Christ. Achan ran the risk of death by stoning, but he ran the risk of having his children and his wife killed. Well, I wouldn't do that, yet you're putting them to death. You're killing them if they see in your life the pursuit for things. Demas is a great example of a thorny ground here. He started off with Paul. He preached with Paul. He traveled in evangelism with him. But the love of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, sprang up in his heart, and it choked out the word of God. So Paul had to say, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. Cares and the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness. They promise you that which they will never give. If I could win the publisher's clearinghouse, if I could win the lottery, if I just had $50,000, if I just had $10,000, I could pay all my debts, and then I could begin giving to God as I ought, and I'd have more time to study the scriptures. If you had $10,000, if you won $10 million, it would not solve one problem in your heart. All that is done is deceive you, and you, like the rich man, says, I'll eat, drink, and my soul will be merry from now on. Riches deceive a man, for they tell him, when you get me, you'll have thus and thus, and your problems will be over. And so they'll devote their time and their energies. They'll devote their mind, and then come late at night when the body's so tired, they'll pick up the book and wonder why I couldn't receive from the book. Or they'll give stingily. Niggardly is a word that was used in the old English. They'll give that way, sticking back so that they can get to the place where they can become spiritual. You are not one bit safer or more secure with a $1 million bank account than you are with your name on a $50,000 note. You are not one bit more secure if you could write a check this day to clear all your debts. You're not one bit more secure than the man who'll have to labor tomorrow for tomorrow's bread. They deceive you in taking your time, in taking your energies, in taking your talent, in destroying your life. And the world holds them out, and the young one pursues after them, and they get to be 40 or 50 and have never reached the pot at the end of the rainbow. Or some have reached it only for their destruction. When you've got good eyes and good ears and a quick, sharp mind, the devil will have thorns growing up, or he would not have you pursuing after God or holiness. It is not riches that destroy. It is the love or the deceitfulness that is in riches that destroy. If you do not trust in them or put expectation in them, then you might be able, God might count you able to just give you plenty of money. You ever heard folk pray, "Lord, don't make me rich. Don't let me have a lot." Well, the wise one did. "Don't need a lot, Lord, or I'll forget you in my riches." But Mark used another. The care of this world, what I eat, what I drink, what I put on, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. I'll leave it with you to work on the lust of the other things. I'll leave it with you to add to those thorns sown by the devil to choke out the word of God. Again, I would remind you, folk, the devil is not going to get most of you by the greater outbreaking sins. He's going to get you and me by an inordinate love, inordinate lust, and immoderate care. Well, if you don't care for self, who's going to care for you? You. I started to call you a selfish so-and-so, but I'll back off. Little boy that has a dad that's a millionaire may not have a dime in his pocket, but he's not overly concerned about it, for if a need arises, he knows his father will provide it. You may not have a dime in your pocket, but I assure you, you've got the richest King and Father there is. And you might not have the dainties at your table, but your old flesh doesn't need that. God will give you what you need. Along with this, "And no good thing will I withhold from them that love me." You don't have because God can't trust you. God knows what it'd do to you. And maybe where you are and going through what you're going through might just be to get you to take the hold to the heart and dig up these weeds and these thorns and these briars. You can pull a briar, you can cut it off several inches under the ground. If you're not careful, it's got a root that has run a long way, and it'll spring back up soon. "Search me, O God, and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me," David cried. "Enable me to dig deeply to get the roots of the thorns." Hang your professions. Your profession, it'll take you to hell. Your fruit bearing will take you to hell if they don't come to maturity. Our Father, I doubt that there's a one here, not a one of us, who could rightly say, chaos, disorder, has never once been in my heart. I know there's not a one of us that can say, my attention rightly, and my time rightly, and my energies rightly are focused on the Lord. For every day there's thorns and briars that grow up to choke out. How many of us have the nerve to start the day without being before you? And how many of us dare close out the day without consideration of thee? Not many. And at the same time, we'd have to say most of us start the day concerned about the cares of the day. And most of us fall asleep at night with the cares of this world so choking out and crowding our minds that we drift off into sleep without a due consideration of God. You, through Christ Jesus, have given us richly all things to enjoy, but not abuse. God help us. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.